Okay, let's ask Lee.
Here I am, News Talk 790 WNIS. It's Lee Foster with you on the mighty 790 on this Saturday. We're with you Saturdays at noon on WNIS, WNIS.com, on your smart speakers, your device of choice. And thank you for making us a part of your Saturday afternoon. I do appreciate it. L-E-E at WNIS.com. That's my email address. That's L-E-E at WNIS.com. You can also text us, 757-627-7979, if you want to be a part of the show. And we are live on location today. I am coming to you live and direct from Tuxcana Cabana at Hemp Haven Wellness in Moyock, North Carolina. Dr. Denise Foster is with me on WNIS. What's going on? Yes, I know.
We got backup plans, B, C, D, and all the way to X if you need them.
I know. My brilliant backup plan was, I guess, to just do it on the phone. I didn't have a good backup, but thankfully it worked out. And I left the radio station at about 11 o'clock. I hightailed it over here to Hemp Haven, which is just below the Virginia-North Carolina border in Moyock, North Carolina. 7-2 going on today, Dr. D. Yes, but I did get here, thankfully, about 20 minutes ago or so. And so we're here. It's a live show from Tuxcana Cabana. We've talked about doing this for a while because, of course, Hemp Haven, this is the new location. You've been down here. How long have you actually been in Moyock now? It's been over a year for sure.
Started in February after our move over the winter break last year.
Last February.
So we've been here since then, and tourist season picks up always. And last year we were just phenomenally floored about how many people actually come down to the Outer Banks.
Oh, yes. It's a tremendous number, and many of them, you know, they rent a house for the week, and it's a Saturday to Saturday rental. And so that's what you're seeing right now. You've got some tourism going on, which is a perfect opportunity, by the way. If you're either headed to the Outer Banks or you're leaving the Outer Banks, we're on the way. If you want to stop in, there's traffic going on, so come have a drink in Tuxcana Cabana. We've been talking about doing a live broadcast from the Cana Cabana for a while, and now we're finally doing it. This is the first of what I hope is many. Tell me about Tuxcana Cabana, and how long has this officially been open? Because this is kind of the first season, right?
The plans in place, went through the processes of permitting, et cetera, et cetera. We finally did a opening at delays. This seems to be the age of delays in everything.
Yes.
So we're suffering that as well. And so while we had a Halloween event last year, it was kind of like a test run, see how everything meshed. And then this year we decided to really push it harder. And we're now completed, and we have live music events. We have makers markets at the last Sunday of every month here, where we can bring the community and their crafts together. We have opportunities for scheduling birthday parties, graduation parties. We've heard retirement parties from the military. As an open space, this is a free space to come and hang out. We do yoga every Wednesday, free yoga sessions every Wednesday with Natalie, Naturally Nat. So these are opportunities. We're talking about movie night and karaoke night and trivia night. Think of us as local tap house, but replace the word tap with
cannabis.
That's right.
Yes. I love the idea. And let me describe it to you for those of you listening on the radio. It's outside, but there is covering. So if it's a hot day like today, you know, there's shade to be had. And then there's a nice little stage over here. You've got tables and picnic tables, and it's real scenic and everything. And then you've got the stage over there where you have some good local musicians performing on a regular basis, right?
To promote him is we're going to have Anthony Rosano and the Conqueroos.
Oh, nice.
22nd to kind of cap off our summer before Labor Day, when we officially, as our last weekend open, we'll still be open for tourists. After tourists go home, right? Locals only after Labor Day weekend. But that's, again, what we're trying to do is really, if you come down to good old Moyock, we love Moyock because you get to the Outer Banks. But for locals who live around here, we're finding that there's really no place for them as a community to share their talents, like live music, to share the crafts that they make or they grow in their farm stand. So these are opportunities from a community standpoint. And I didn't invent this. I didn't invent this model. Currently, there are 12 states. Massachusetts is one of the latest. Massachusetts has just announced that they are granting public consumption lounge licenses through the state. And of course, it's all regulated like medical marijuana is, or adult use marijuana, like Virginia should be having in the states. But when you look at these states who are regulating the cannabis consumption lounges, they're doing it for a reason. Because look at what just happened in Virginia. You've got recriminalization of smoking the legal marijuana in public. So people have very limited options on where they can publicly consume. And again, the states are looking into this and they're realizing they can grant licenses. So I just copy their regulations and their models.
And this is one thing you can't do that what we're doing right now. We're sitting in a private consumption lounge. You can't do this in Virginia. If I drive 1 mile up that way, you can't do what we're doing right now.
Virginia is so behind. They are so confused about what marijuana is. And I'm talking marijuana. They demonized
Yeah.
and cleared the path for hemp. Hemp will be completely illegal, except for industrial purposes, as of August 15th. So I don't
We're
get it.
still teaching people what the difference between hemp and marijuana and all that is. You know what I
Absolutely.
mean? We're at this point, we've talked about it on whether it be your Ask the Expert show or the podcast, or you've come on the morning show or my show or whatever. We've talked about the differences so many times, and you and I are kind of on the same page, but there's a lot of people out there that still don't know the difference, that it's all generally it's the same, it's from the same plant,
It's
or it's a
the same
sister
family.
plant,
It's
it's
the
the
same
same
family.
family. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're still fighting. It's not just the prohibition mindset. That is very much a problem, but it's the prohibition mindset plus people don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? And then those people oftentimes are writing laws about things that they can't comprehend. I wanted to get into the changes coming up in Virginia, and I also wanted to talk about what's going on in North Carolina. And you mentioned Massachusetts too. There's something really interesting, and I'll get to this coming up. There's something really interesting happening in Massachusetts, where they're going to put it on the ballot if they want to repeal the so Massachusetts right now, you can smoke your marijuana. It's legal. It is legal to sell it and buy it. They want to go backwards. They want to essentially make it like what Virginia is now, where it's legal to have, to use, but you can't sell it, which is, that's been such a confusing
Oh,
situation for our
yes.
state for the past, 5, 6 years now. I don't know what Massachusetts is thinking, but they got enough signatures, allegedly. They got enough signatures to get it onto the ballot. So I'll get to that coming up. But first and foremost, you moved down here to Moyock, you mentioned last February. So we're coming up, we're like a year, year and a half since you started down here in Moyock, North Carolina. For people, and once again, we're broadcasting, I should mention, we're broadcasting from Hemp Haven, 726 Caratoke Highway. HempHavenWellness.com. By the way, I don't even think I did the weather because I was so my brain was so out of it just trying to get on the air today and dealing with the technical issues. My brain is rattled. It's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy afternoon, high of 88. Rain showers early, scattered thunderstorms developing tonight, low 74, and then Sunday variable clouds, scattered thunderstorms, high 81. The current temperature in downtown Norfolk is 84. There you go. Your weather from Doppler 790. HempHavenWellness.com is that website. If you want to call Dr. D, 252-340-3557. She is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. And then an extra hour on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. She's open here at 726 Caratoke Highway in Moyock, North Carolina. She moved from Chesapeake. She was located off of Kempsville Road, as we called Hempsville, of course. And there were so many changes in Virginia. She came down here to Moyock, North Carolina. I'm going to hear that part of the story, why she came to Moyock, coming up here as we'll take a short time out and come back with more with Dr. D, Dr. Denise Foster, and Hemp Haven Wellness on News Talk 790 WNIS. Ah, yes. News Talk 790 WNIS, Emily Foster with you Saturdays at noon. WNIS.com. Listen live on your devices, your smart speakers, you name it. And we're live on location from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Carrotoke Highway, just below the Virginia, North Carolina border in Moyock. That's 726 Carrotoke Highway. Come and see us. We're in Tuxcana Cabana. And if you can't make it today, hemphavenwellness.com is the website. Dr. D, if you want to stop in and see her, she is open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., an extra hour Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. at 726 Carrotoke Highway. Because we are live, if you have any questions for Dr. D, she's one of our most popular guests, you can email us or you can text us, 757-627-7979. You can text us if you can safely do so. Don't do it while you're driving. Or email me, Lee at WNIS.com. That's L-E-E at WNIS.com. Wanted to allow Dr. D to share her story from, if you haven't heard it before, because she used to be in Chesapeake. She used to be on Hempsville Road. And she moved down here to Moyock. And we're now about a year and a half into that. I guess to understand why the move had to occur, you first have to understand the Farm Bill. Right, which was passed in 2018, which allowed you to have, you know, products, beverages, for example, with up to 0.3% hemp-derived THC, I believe. And then Virginia decided we're going to mess that up for no good reason.
Yeah.
And essentially made you a criminal.
Virginia, haven't we? This actually, for me, goes back to being a nurse. Because in my, from nursing school, through my 40 plus years as a registered nurse, then a registered nurse who worked both at critical care at the bedside, went back, got her master's degree from Old Dominion University and became a nurse educator, now a nursing professor, got my PhD at Regent University with their higher education and got that degree so I could be a better nursing professor to teach, because I knew about nursing. But in all of that career trajectory, marijuana was a no-no, absolute. We were educating students. It is a drug of abuse. It is a Schedule I drug. Now, that's where, again, we'll talk about some of the confusion, because on one side of the farm, it is a Schedule I drug still. On the other side, it's trying to move to Schedule III, hence confusion abound. But when I was with the nursing career trajectory, you did not dare to use it. You could not only go to jail, but also lose your nursing license. We would educate our patients, hey, stop using that wacky weed, right? It's no good for you. Not only is it unhealthy for you, but you could also go to jail, yeah, for it, et cetera. So
it's still kind of that way. I have a family member who is dealing with the aftermath of bladder cancer, and she underwent immunotherapy, radiation therapy, and they make you sign a waiver, basically saying that you will not turn to any type of THC or CBD product. Yeah.
But really came to my, added to my confusion. When I was a nurse in the 1980s, I called myself a baby nurse back then. It was during the AIDS crisis when, if you were around in those days, I saw a lot of AIDS patients as they were being discharged very rapidly out of the hospital, because at that time we didn't know how AIDS was transmitted. We didn't have the effective treatments that are available today. And so hospitals were discharging AIDS patients, some in very, very critical condition, home. And what was happening in home? Well, first, they were using a drug, an FDA-approved drug called Marinol. Marinol is an FDA-approved synthetic THC, synthetic THC that was approved in 1985 by the FDA for the treatment of chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. So, of course, these AIDS patients were coming home taking synthetic THC prescribed to them by their oncologist or their immunologist or whomever. And at the same time, what really made me even more confused as a baby nurse was that they would also be receiving tins of marijuana cigarettes supplied to them by the National Institute on Drug Abuse and regulated under the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Talk about confusion, because these were cigarettes that were grown by the federal government at the University of Mississippi on their marijuana farm. And they were licensed and regulated under the Department of Health, Education and Welfare under the Compassionate Use Program that was incepted in the 1980s when Mr. Robert Randall won his Supreme Court case in California to use medical marijuana to treat his glaucoma. And it was always quite baffling to me that I would help my AIDS patient remove their oxygen, help them light up their marijuana government-supplied joint, and then exit their apartment, their building, and their house and say, "Now I'll be right outside because if I'm caught inhaling, I could not only lose my
Yes.
job, my freedom, I could also lose my nursing license." And so fast forward now to the PhD program at Regent University. I have to applaud Regent University. I know they advertise on WNIS, but they give a very highly critical and very discerning education curricula that teaches you how to review and read research with critical analysis. And it was at that time in my career trajectory as a nursing professor that I learned that the United States government owns the patent on cannabis as medicine. And again, it came full circle to me because now this made sense that stretching all the way back to the 1980s, when of course we had Marinol, an FDA-approved drug, we had a Supreme Court case that allowed these compassionate use patients to use government-supplied marijuana. And it all became clear to me after reviewing that patent that stretched all the way back to 1942. When Dr. Roger Adams discovered the first cannabinoid in hemp and he called it CBD. So I began to look very critically as marijuana became more of a medicine. And this is confirmed as the government owns the patent on it. Actually, the Department of Health, Education, and I'm not sorry, not them. They morph into the Department of Health and Human Services. And in 1994, this process was started for a patent that was finally approved in 2003 for cannabinoids such as CBD, THC, etc. There's over 150 discovered in the plant so far. These were patented by the government as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. Now we're going into medical marijuana land. And of course, it was Prop 219 or 215 in 1996 in California that began this phenomenon that we know now as medical marijuana. And more patients were signing up to become marijuana users medically under state licensing programs. The problem there was they put the cart before the horse. As a medicine, it's verified by the government. It's a medicine. FDA is a medicine. As a medicine, doctors, nurses like me, all healthcare professionals have been instructed through our medical healthcare curricula that marijuana is a drug of abuse. So none of us knew how to counsel, educate, recommend, make sure that there were no drug interactions, everything that you assign to a medicine and how to use it safely and appropriately. And that's where cannabis nursing was born. Cannabis nurses are an actual subspecialty of the American Nursing Association. They were recognized in 2023 as a regulatory and re legitimate subspecialty of nursing. And in 2018, our National Council of State Boards of Nursing mandated that all nurses across the United States learn medical marijuana and how to educate our patients who are using it, how to understand if you're in a state that allows recommendation, for instance, by an APRN, an advanced practice nurse, like a nurse practitioner. But back to the patent, we call this going down the rabbit hole, because the longer you begin to investigate each compound, it leads to more questions. And more likely, those questions have been answered by government research, making again more evidence to show that these compounds do indeed have medicinal properties. It was at that time, I was still kind of having my toe in the education world, that I became a medical marijuana nurse working with patients across the country. Now move to 2018, when the Farm Bill was passed. And it had been that time I had already been working with medical marijuana patients about 5 years, educating them is our first tenet. We have to educate with ourselves, our colleagues, our communities, our law enforcement, our politicians.
Yes.
And once we are now educating our community, I also learned how to begin recommending compounds that would not keep people on Mars. They didn't necessarily using medicinally want to be on Mars. They wanted to use medicinal properties.
Yeah, right.
And then they passed the farm bill, and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I cashed in my life savings. I quit my job as a nursing professor, and I opened Hemp Haven in Chesapeake on Hempsville Road in 2020,
yes.
Which was mind-boggling because it was exactly at the same time the pandemic began.
You survived the pandemic.
Survived and thrived.
Yes.
In 5 years from 2020 until 2025, because what we were recommending worked.
Yes. And you were selling something that was legal. The farm bill legalized hemp, defining it as cannabis containing no more than 0.3% Delta-9 THC by dry weight. So every product you had in the store was federally legal. And then for whatever reason, Virginia decided, let's change that regulation. Let's get rid of that. And I worry that was why you came down here to North Carolina, because North Carolina does not have that regulation. So there is an open door. Plus there's the, as we talked about, the consumption lounge. You can have a Tucks-Canna Cabana just below the border in Moyock. You can have that up in Virginia. But I worry because late last year, and this was actually something that Mitch McConnell, before he was allegedly brain dead. Right. Yes, no one's heard from Mitch McConnell, and his wife has flown to China, and you've got three Republicans saying that they talked to him on the phone for 20 minutes. It's a bizarre story. Anyway, late last year, Mitch McConnell had his hands all over legislation that has redefined hemp under federal law. Trump signed it into law, and lawmakers delayed enforcement of it November 12th, 2016, or 2026, rather. So this November is when this would take effect. They're going to change, at least as of right now, that 0.3 THC by dry weight, and it's going to become what, 0.4, I believe it is?
Yeah.
So, and that's milligrams per container. A typical THC beverage would have between 2.5 and 10 milligrams in a container. A gummy would have between 5 and 10. The new federal limit would be 0.4. So all these products that are being made and sold are suddenly going to become illegal for an arbitrary reason.
Putting every hemp business across the United States out of business.
Right. And there's no science tied to this 0.4. It was a number that was made up.
This is behind the reason that states like Virginia are schizophrenic, Massachusetts is schizophrenic. They have realized the toothpaste is out of the tube. The lobbyists, the political action committees, the ones that buy and put politicians in their pockets. These are your big, we would call them, you know, the big four. Well, first of all, the alcohol industry lost $830 billion last year. Guess where it went? It went, of course, Gen Z, millennials, they are definitely not drinking as much. And if they are drinking, they're not drinking alcohol. They're moving over to your hard seltzers, your hard teas, your energy drinks, your adaptogenics, those mushroom products. Right, functional mushrooms. So the alcohol industry alone last year lost money. Even distilleries that have been in business of spirits for decades, generations, they're going out of business because they cannot sustain the volume of the baby boomers and the Gen X's, because that was your drinking generations. Second of all, tobacco. How many decades have we been saying smoking tobacco causes cancer? There's your science. There's your evidence. There's your research. In fact, every pack of cigarettes that you purchase must have that disclaimer that you are going to knowingly consume a product that is licensed, regulated, and sold legally across every state. But we're giving you the worst disease on earth, that even the treatment for the worst disease on earth may be worse than the disease. So those two lobbies alone are a very large reason why alcohol and tobacco are the number one enemies of marijuana. Marijuana, because once people learn that, gosh, marijuana heals cancer. Marijuana treats chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting, hence the FDA patent on Marinol. And now we are not, if we're still wanting to smoke something, well, there's probably a reason Willie Nelson is still with us. He gave up the cigarettes
Yes.
for the wacky weed. Those two alone are huge. Now you add in the medicinal side. We're talking the pharmaceutical lobby that have over 160 patents in the pipeline for synthetic drugs made to mimic what cannabinoids do. That's what Marinol does. It's a synthetic form of THC that mimics what THC does, but this Marinol is made in a chemical vat in some pharmaceutical company versus you going out in your backyard and picking a plant from your garden. Then you talk about the health insurance slash insurance, healthcare in, industry. If you become well, if you use cannabis to be healthy, to either treat and heal yourself or to prevent a disease, we know that a patient cured is a profit law.
Yes.
There's your big four that are now going, oh my goodness, we're losing our shirts. Evidence of this is Virginia, in its incredible wisdom, just recently passed laws that are going to mandate that every hospital and healthcare organization, think assisted living, think retirement communities that are run by the state, think hospice and palliative communities, to allow every medical marijuana patient to use their marijuana while hospitalized or in a residential setting. The game is over, and they're trying to push back in any way they can. As far as this bill is concerned, they don't know what they're doing, and I think the vendors, we see it. We have an expanded, exponentially seeing growth in the vendor amounts of products that are available. And the vendors that are doing it right, that's who we stock in our Hemp Haven. The vendors who are doing it right, they're doing lab testing. They're regulating the dosage by consumption serving, just like you would under a food and drug model. So I think there's going to be an alignment at some point, but I don't see how they're going to risk putting a $1 trillion industry across the United States out of business,
Yeah.
including our hemp industrial farmers who are now going to have to start all over again.
And it predominantly, in another irony of this, it predominantly appears to be Republicans who are the ones leading the charge. And Republicans, the conservative party, I mean, you could argue that they're not conservative anymore, but that's a different topic for another day. They're supposed to be conservative. The conservative opinion would be to let people do as they choose. The conservative opinion would be the free market has chosen. You're an adult, you can do whatever you want, and the free market has chosen. This market has sprung up. It is successful. It's made all this money. By the way, on the topic of Virginia, we did have that confusion this week where everybody thought that marijuana was accidentally decriminalized or legalized across Virginia this week. But it all goes back to some wording in the law where they put July 1st, 2026 instead of July 1st, 2027, which created this legal loophole where for a year there would not be, there wouldn't be restrictions on what was on public. If you're fined for being in public, for example, the gap was real. They fixed it. The prosecutor said the bill was poorly drafted, and the Virginia Association of Commonwealth Attorneys even said that the language invites an argument. And some prosecutors warned defense attorneys could successfully challenge marijuana cases because of the wording. Well, in the end, they fixed it. The Virginia Code Commission stepped in, they fixed it. So marijuana sales still illegal in Virginia. You can have it and you can use it, but you can't sell it until July 1st. Some of these other, real quick, I just wanted to run through these because these are some of the other laws and regulations that will be going into effect on July 1st, 2027 in Virginia. Recreational sales begin. The purchase and possession limit is doubling. So before it was 1 ounce, you can now have 2 ounces. Up to 350 dispensaries are allowed. So there's a hard cap on how many dispensaries there can be statewide. I don't know why you need that, but home delivery becomes legal. The public use fine increases. It is $25 right now. That's going up to $250 if you're using it in public. And again, there is no public consumption in Virginia. There is a new marijuana tax, 6% excise tax, 5.3% state sales tax, optional local tax up to 3.5%. It's a lot of taxes. Hemp rules are tightening. Some higher THC hemp products qualified under the 25 to 1 CBD to THC ratio rule. That was before. That exemption is now being eliminated, narrowing what qualifies as legal hemp. So they're cracking down even further. THC limits for edibles. Maximum 10 milligram THC per serving and 100 milligram per package. Of all these numbers that I'm reading, and you know this stuff a lot more than I do, is there any, there's no science or reasoning to this. It's just numbers that sounded
These
good
numbers
to
sound good.
politicians. That's kind of what I was thinking. So that's what's to come July 1st, 2027. I'm Lee Foster. She's Dr. D. We're broadcasting live from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Carrito Highway in Mohawk, North Carolina. We'll take a short break and come back, talk a little bit about what's to come in North Carolina, where you are now. And also, this is so bizarre to me. Massachusetts voters may decide in November whether to partially undo recreational marijuana
Put
legalization.
that in the
I guess they got a little over 12,000 signatures. And that's enough to put it on the ballot. Hopefully, yes. Or I guess that would be no.
It won't go
Yes.
back in the tube, trust me on that.
Yes. Dr. D is here. If you have a question for Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven, Lee at WNIS.com. We're at 726 Carrito Highway in Texarkana Cabana at Hemp Haven Wellness on News Talk 790 WNIS. News Talk 790 WNIS. I'm Lee Foster with you Saturdays at noon here on the Mighty 790, noon till 1, LEE at WNIS.com. That is my email address. If you want to be a part of the show, Dr. Denise Foster is with us. You got time for a last minute question for Dr. D. That's LEE at WNIS.com. We're broadcasting live on location today from Hemp Haven Wellness at 726 Carrituck Highway in Mohawk, North Carolina, right below the Virginia border. Hemphavenwellness.com is her website, 252-340-3557, her number. And she is open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Extra hour for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Talking all things hemp, cannabis, CBD, THC, you name it, this hour on News Talk 790 WNIS. Many people say THC infused drinks are replacing alcohol in their lives. And that's why we're at Texarkana Cabana today, outside of Hemp Haven Wellness. New little outdoor setup she's got going on here. There's music, there's tables, there's chairs, there's cover. The weather actually, it's not too hot out here, and there's a breeze going, so it's a nice time. And the stage there is perfect. She has live bands come in and play all the time. It's a cool place to hang out. Once again, hemphavenwellness.com is the website. More than three out of every four THC drink consumers say they are drinking less alcohol than before. And that's a good thing because alcohol, as we know, attacks every organ in your body. In Massachusetts, they got themselves some signatures, supporters of a new measure. They needed 12,429 valid signatures to get this on the ballot in November up there. They got just over that, 122 more than they needed. Now there's a legal challenge because cannabis advocates are saying that some of the signatures shouldn't count. They say some of them are not genuine or they were collected fraudulently. Some were signed with, a difference of what the voter's intention was. So, for example, there were some instances of people who signed the petition, and they said that they were told that it was to protect legalization, and in fact, they signed this thing that does the opposite. So as of right now, there's a challenge going on. It is on the ballot in Massachusetts. If it stays on the ballot, Massachusetts will vote on it in November. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that any state has considered going backwards. Other than Virginia, on legalization efforts,
yeah,
which is a case study in the fact that it works, right?
Substitute the word marijuana with alcohol, and what do you have? Because everyone forgets that Al Capone went to jail for a reason. Now, he went to jail, of course, for tax evasion. But what was he selling that he should have been paying taxes on? Alcohol, among other things. But that's because, remember that alcohol, too, was prohibited and then repealed prohibition. And look how many bars we have today. How long have we been working on drunk driving, which remains the number one fatality in every state, still to this day, with alcohol? We look at how the states, so back to the Farm Bill, Massachusetts, Virginia, under the Farm Bill, while it is a federal regulation and it is found under the United States Department of Agriculture at the Farm Bill rate of 0.3 Delta 9 THC by dry weight, that's what your legal standard is now, the Farm Bill also allowed each state individually to regulate their own hemp regulations within their borders. And that's, for instance, what put me out of jail. Me out of business, and they threatened me with jail. They fined me almost $500,000. I did not have $500,000 to spend on a fine for a legal product. And in my 60s, going to jail as a felon was never in my retirement plan. But that's where Virginia messed up. And in 2021, we were hemp businesses, which are now out of business, were going around telling people, you know, when they pass this bill, and they will, look who's in office, we will all go out of business. And here we are. I had to make a decision because as a medicinal aspect, hemp, again, I recognize that the same cannabinoids that we can get out of marijuana, we can find in hemp, with the big difference being marijuana is high in concentrations of THC. Hemp is high in concentrations of CBD. But we can still obtain and extract THC, but we like to know that 5 milligrams has been assigned as the standard unit dose. The National Institute on Drug Abuse has said 5 milligrams of THC is the dose at which most people will begin to feel the effects of THC. So we now had guidelines, and as a medical marijuana nurse, now trafficking in legal, I should say federally legal cannabinoids that are derived from hemp, I was helping people heal, find pain relief without opioids and narcotics, transitioning off of alcohol and tobacco, helping them with some very serious conditions that were untreatable using traditional medicinals and pharmaceuticals. And I, of course, got caught. I had to make a decision. After my fine of $500,000 and the threat of jail if I continued to sell them, I had a woman that I had been working with for months. And this woman, of course, remained anonymous, but she came to me in her mid-70s saying that she had used narcotics for pain management and they were killing her. But the caveat to that was she was scared to come off the narcotics because pain. She was fearful of the pain she would be in if she was not allowed to use her narcotics. And as you mentioned earlier, her pain management community gave her medical blackmail options. We find you with THC in your system, we're going to kick you out. So that she was kind of between a rock and a hard place. And then she heard about the new law changes in Virginia. I will never forget the day that she came to me in Hemp Haven in Virginia and cried and said, I guess the governor wants me to go back to narcotics, meaning he wants to kill me. And I said, for you, I will move my entire operation like a felon to just south of the border. And here she comes because she now continues to use the products that I get recommended to her that are treating her pain and keeping her from being on Mars, but yet she's no longer addicted to narcotics. And this is the evidence that we know that have benefits, but education must precede any legislative changes? And do you think we have education at that level? You
Would not
have.
appear.
You.
Yes. Dr. Denise Foster, we only have a minute or so left. What can we expect from the future of Hemp Haven Wellness and Texarkana Cabana?
We're gonna keep kicking it as long as none of us go to jail. I am very proud to say that our team of Canna Fam at this the dispensary, they all came to me mainly from the healthcare community. In fact, we have five cannabis nurses on staff here. We teach a cannabis nurse class every February, and there's one coming up every September. A cannabis nurse colleague and I just did a presentation to the Emergency Nursing Association of Hampton Roads because they're seeing cannabis obviously coming into the hospital, where soon it will be mandated that they allow medical marijuana patients to use it. So we're seeing this embrace by our community down here. Word of mouth is my best advertising, along with WNIN. But word of mouth is my neighbor, my coworker, my friend, my mother told me to come down here. Because we're seeing how if we just get you in front of us, we give you some education, we allow you options and give you the pros and cons. We encourage you to sign up for our free cannabis nurse consultations because, of course, we want you to bring your concerns, your medications currently on, and we will help you navigate these dark waters. And as long as we can continue to do this by using the medical model under the cannabis nurse scope and standards of practice, we will continue to help heal our community.
Come see her. She's open 7 days a week, 726 Carrito Highway in Moyock, North Carolina, right below the border. 7 days a week, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., an extra hour Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. You can call her 252-340-3557 or check out the website, which is hemphavenwellness.com. If you have any questions about this stuff, I can think of no better person to ask than Dr. D and her team here at Hemp Haven Wellness. And of course, she's with us on Ask the Expert, so she'll be back with us on WNIS in August. I'm Lee Foster. Thank you for listening to us.
Things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know.